Welcome back to this episode of the Shooting Bricks podcast. And wow. It feels good to say that. I mean, it's been a minute. It's actually been 2 minutes, maybe even three. Some might say even 4 minutes. But right now, it's been a minute, but we're glad to be back. As always, I'm Jared Castillo, and I'm joined by...
Hey, everyone. It's good to have everyone back. It's been a whole entire season, but I'm happy to be here. Let's just say I'm apathetic on the state of the Los Angeles Lakers, but that's, you know, enough with that. Joining me as well.
Of course, it's your boy, Relly Rail. You can find that at on Instagram and at Twitter. Glad to be back. It's so nostalgic to hear welcome back with the calming voice of Jared Castillo. But hey, we're ready to talk about some basketball, and I know all our fans out there are excited for us to be back as well. So let's get to it.
And absolutely. Really quick, though, shout out to the fans. I know it's been a really long minute, but shout out to you guys for everyone that's like, you know, reached out when we made that announcement today that we're going to be back. Shout out to you guys, because you make us want to do better and you make us enjoy this. So thank you for all the fans out there. And I know that, you know, we're going to talk about you guys later. But yeah, right now, it's the NBA Finals. Not really. NBA Finals start on Thursday, but we're going to talk about the NBA Finals, and just, I can't wait. As a Warrior fan, as everyone knows, as you can probably tell in my background, that the NBA Finals, and me as a Warrior fan, I'm stoked. But what do you guys think? Any thoughts about this upcoming series between the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors?
Well, first of all, Jared, I think you put a nice intro there. I just have to say this. To put it short and sweet, the worst case scenario happened. Me and Jarrell are both Lakers fans. We got NorCal and the Golden State Warriors right there, the complete antithesis of what LeBron has been fighting his whole entire career, especially the last 10. And then we got our historic arch rivals, Boston Celtics. So either way, Laker fans, we don't like either side, but as a Laker fan, I have no choice. I'm rooting for the Golden State Warriors, Jared, because the thought of Boston winning title number 18, it's a creepy thought. It's a creepy thought. But Jarrell, like, what are your thoughts about this?
I find that interesting. I guess I'm one of those Lakers fans that doesn't care about the Warriors. I mean, go ahead, wow, get your championship. I'm not like that, but it's not like I have a vendetta against the Warriors like I do with the Celtics. I think it's more of those LeBron fans that are going to really feel hurt if the Warriors win, because, you know, Steph Curry's legacy versus LeBron's legacy. But it's a tough predicament. I'm a Lakers fan by all means. I love Jason Tatum's game. But I'm going for the Warriors in this matchup, because we cannot see that Celtic green hoist another champion. Nah.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Jason Tatum. We'll get to him in a little bit. But, like, it's amazing that the Celtics are back to the NBA Finals after, you know. Is it fair to say that the conference finals were boring? They weren't competitive? Because aside from Game 7, like, what was actually a close game? Do you guys even remember?
It was, maybe I'm, you know, going a bit far with my memory. It kind of felt like, I believe it was more like the 2014 or 2013 finals is one of the Spurs finals where every game was a blowout. It was back and forth. It went to seven. It was kind of like those finals, but like reiterated for this year's conference finals. So like the matchups were like, meh, whatever. It was just, it all depended which team was going to have the good night, and whatever team had the most good nights were going to literally win the series. So that's how I saw how the conference finals went down, if you get my drift.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's been an interesting playoff run. Just looking at a lot of these teams, I don't know. They don't look like championship teams to me. I know that the Heat and the Celtics have what? Top Heat, Celtics. Let's not even say that. The Celtics and the Warriors have top five defenses, maybe even top three defenses in the league. But it's been so, just even looking at the Western Conference Finals with the Mavericks going up against the Warriors, there was a couple of matchup games where if the Warriors, they shouldn't have won. And it's only because Luka's balling by himself that the Warriors won, and they had some experience, and you could throw the ball to Curry to hit a shot. But things like that make me question how competitive this finals is going to be, and just reiterates what you said, Jared. it's kind of boring.
Right. Well, not for me, of course, because, you know, right there. But it's interesting you bring up the defensive point, because according to StatMuse, both the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors had the same defensive rating at 106.9. So we know for sure, especially after the second half turnaround, that the Boston Celtics had, they can lock teams up defensively. The thing is, can they lock up Golden State? Because for sure, we know Golden State can lock teams up. I mean, they've got, I don't know, 3-4 perimeter stoppers that can play at any given time. So I'm, at least on the defensive end, I'm liking the Warriors, not strictly from like an objective standpoint. I'm liking the Warriors. But gee, before we move on, you wanted to talk about Jimmy Butler's shot last night?
Jimmy Butler, man. I don't know. Jimmy Butler, you know, it was a perfect interlude for us, because he was shooting bricks. Yeah. He shot that brick for us to come back today and record this podcast episode. Man, I kid you not. I've had a stiff neck this entire weekend, laying down watching this game. I got to the edge of my bed, heart racing. They're making a comeback. 8-0 run. Was it 11-0 run? Came back. Kyle Lowry with double cheeked up paws, flopping all over the place.
On a and Sunday
Jimmy
night.
Jimmy Butler has the perfect opportunity to stamp his legacy in this league. 48 minutes, and he pulls up for a jumper with a D-plus three-point rating with Al Horford backpedaling. What are you doing? What are you doing, Jimmy?
Jarrell, like, I agree with everything you said. I mean, and the worst part is this Miami Heat team is, in my impression, they're pretty old. So, like, as far as this season goes, like, this season could have been their best, Jimmy Butler's best shot to win a chip with this Miami Heat team. Because, you know, we're talking about Kyle Lowry. I mean, they're, like, his knees, they're blowing up. So, like, I don't know, Jimmy. It's a tough road looking ahead from this season. It just is.
Yeah, you got Udonis Haslem, like, acting like he was playing all 48, walking through the tunnel. You seen that, G?
Yeah, man. I saw the ball spots in that dude head, too. But, hey, us Lakers, we got a perfect athletic point guard for that Miami Heat, and we can replace one of their players. We could give you Russell Westbrook. So, come on, hit us up.
Bro, you're going to get Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kyle Lowry for Westbrook?
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
You know what? If we have time, we'll get to the Lakers, because according to Bleacher Report, there are some reports that the Lakers are going to keep Westbrook. But we'll see what happens, because they don't want to attach any of those assets, whatever assets they do have, which at this point would be THT and a pick, the 2027 pick that we've talked about ad nauseum. But regardless, we're not talking about the Lakers, thank God. We're talking about the Celtics and the Warriors. And G, you mentioned it at the top, Jason Tatum. And shout out to Daniel for writing all this down. But yeah, Jason Tatum, he texted Kobe before the game. I forgot what the text was, but he's blossomed into this quote unquote bona fide superstar this year. And, you know, people said that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum couldn't work together, couldn't play together. But seeing all the success, what do you guys think about their prospects on this upcoming finals? Because again, according to StatMuse, the Warriors have 132 games in the finals or something like that combined experience. The Celtics, zero. So just thoughts on Jason Tatum leading the Celtics into San Francisco.
First off, I just want to give props to the Boston Celtics. I'm not a Celtics fan. Obviously, I'm a Lakers fan, but you can't deny it.
On our logo, there's the Celtics logo with like a thing across it showing how much you hate the Celtics.
Yeah, I know. But I have to give this Boston team of props. They've been impressive all year, and especially in this playoffs. I mean, look, it was kind of depressing seeing the Heat get eliminated by that, but I saw it coming. Boston has had a terrific postseason by far. They've had a much tougher road in the playoffs. In comparison to Golden State, I'm going to say it. They had a Brooklyn Nets team stacked on paper that didn't really, you know, show up. They beat a Bucks team in seven with Giannis averaging historic numbers. And they just beat a Heat team who probably have one of the best cultures in all of basketball. But with that being said, initially, I'm going to be honest. I think Golden State has the edge in this going into this finals. Initially, when Miami beat Boston, no, excuse me, when Boston beat Miami in seven, I thought, man, the Boston Celtics are going to get curb stomped in this NBA Finals. But the more I thought about that, I think Boston's going to put up a big fight, but I think Golden State's going to pull ahead, because here's the thing what Golden State has, experience. And experience matters, especially in the playoffs. And I just think the Celtics right now just don't have it. They're way too young. They're just way too young.
They have zero of it. But G, go ahead. You made an expression when you said curb stomped.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Seth Rollins. We got WWE references coming out here. We appreciate that.
And a Swanton bomb, your next analysis or what?
Oh, yeah. Big facts. Big facts. When you were just talking about all of these teams, I'm not trying to be the pessimistic co-host here, but there's been a lot of injuries if we really look at it. You know, even with the Nets, every team that the Boston Celtics faced and the Warriors faced had big injuries. Tim Hardaway Jr. did not play with the Mavericks, if we recall that. Ja Morant got injured with the Grizzlies. You're looking at me, but look, that's a firepower offense. That's 15 points a game, Jared. The same thing with the Celtics. Just injuries. Who did they just play against? Miami Heat. Kyle Lowry was injured. Jimmy Butler has to play a damn 48 minutes.
Tyler Hero barely played game seven.
Exactly. So,
and then the Bucks, Chris Middleton didn't even play.
And they still got brought to game seven. So that's why I don't think the Celtics can win this. I know that the Warriors, you know, they might have had a easier route to the playoffs if we're looking at, you know, comparing the teams. But it's that veteran leadership, it's that experience factor that you guys mentioned before that's going to give them the edge in what's necessary. Because I feel like there's going to be a lot of games like what happened with the Mavericks against the Warriors, where, you know, the Celtics might get an edge, but it's that those final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter where Steph Curry's feeling it, Klay Thompson's feeling it, Draymond Green screaming in the crowd, Jordan Poole does something ridiculously stupid that turns out to be good, and then it's game over. So I don't know if the Celtics can pull that out, because I haven't seen much of that. You have Marcus Smart pulling up for threes to get his team the lead. Jaylen Brown, I don't trust him down the stretch. You saw what he's done the past two games. And unfortunately, Jason Tatum is 23, 24 years old.
He's 19.
You know what I'm saying? He is young. And I can't put it all on him to deliver right now. Like Daniel said, right now. Even I'm not trying to compare him to Kobe, but Shaq didn't carry Kobe those three years. But that was a safety net. Shaq was a safety net for Kobe. Who is Jason Tatum's safety net? Al Horford?
Yeah. And it's a good – so it's actually really good that you bring up Al Horford, because, you know, even though I don't like the Celtics as much, like, I have to feel happy for him, because according to a stat that I've seen almost everywhere, he played the most postseason games, 141, without reaching the NBA Finals. So shout out to Al Horford. But gee, you know, you're right. The thing with Golden State is just one, the experience, right? Clay, Dre, Iguodala, if he decides to suit up ever again, and Steph, and all the coaching staff, right? They've been here. They've made the finals six times in the last 8 years, something that hasn't been done since Michael Jordan. I want to preface that by saying, they did that as a franchise, right? We're not talking about LeBron. He's a person. But as a franchise, they were the last team to do it, you know, since MJ, which is an accomplishment in and of itself.
Since the Bulls.
Since the Bulls, yeah. Not the other MJ, but we're not talking about him. But yeah, the Warriors, I don't see, unless something catastrophic happens, I don't see them losing this series. And Daniel, you pointed it out, right? The Warriors had, quote unquote, an easier road to the finals because of all the injuries they face and whatever else.
I just wanted to put it out there. In each of these series so far for Golden State so far, more than any team in these winning their playoff games, I felt this presence that not a lot of the other teams besides maybe Boston had throughout. Like, look at their opponents. They had games where they absolutely crushed them. Like their Denver, whether it be sometimes Memphis, and recently, you know, they ran Luka off the court. So what I believe I'm seeing with this Golden State team right now, is that they're having a 2015 remix. This is the 2015 remix team. And there's a lot of high profile volume shooters going on both sides. So I think this series, a lot of the series is going to come down to bigs. And even then, Golden State has an advantage in that department. Draymond Green, you know, he's not the Draymond we used to know, but he has, again, like I said, he has the experience. Steve Kerr, it's all around in terms of experience. It's going to be a mismatch across the board. I just don't think Boston has what it takes to get over that hump. They're too raw.
All right. I totally agree. Like, I think that's kind of like the point we've all been making like the past few minutes, is that Boston is raw. They're coming in here raw. And, you know, Golden State, they've been there. They just know. But mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think, G?
Yeah, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. The Boston Celtics have been to the conference finals for four straight seasons. They've been to the conference finals quite a bit. I know they haven't been to the finals, and we keep saying every single season, they're not there yet. They're not there yet. They're not there yet. But they're here. They're in the finals. So I feel like they still have a chance to put up a fight defensively. The other thing that the Warriors haven't faced is size. And the Celtics have size. They have their wings. They have what? Marcus Smart is 6'3", 6'4". He built. That man, 225, built like a linebacker. Ah, you know, I would hate to see him on the opposing side. And then you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, almost called him Jordan Brown. Jaylen Brown, who are what, 6'7", 6'8", mm-hmm. Switchable. And then you put in Robert Williams. He's an undersized center, but he's gonna give problems to Kevon Looney, who's been playing like an all-star this playoffs. But when you put size, you put throw Grant Williams at him, Robert Williams, Al Horford. Now I think the Celtics might be able to cause the Warriors some problems. Not, that doesn't mean that they're going to win the series, but it's just something that the Warriors have not faced this postseason yet. Plus, you add in that defensive aspect that the Celtics have, could make for a less boring playoffs or at least series.
Right. And it's interesting because all of that that you just said, it calls to mind how I saw it on Twitter, that there's only one team in the league that has a winning record against the Steve Kerr Warriors, the Boston Celtics. So if recent history is to be believed, you know, yes, the Warriors will ultimately win, but it'll be a more challenging victory than what people think. Plus, I think as a realistic Warrior fan, right? Like, this is potentially the Warriors' big three's last dance. Like, this is, it's not like they're going to break up, but if you look at the other teams, like the Clippers next year are going to be fantastic. They're going to be stacked. Okay, you're making that face, but they're probably going to win more games than the Lakers. Book it right here on May 30th, 2022.
The Clippers. It's crazy how the Lakers just get involved in this game.
Yeah. But no, I mean, that is a thing. But the Clippers are going to be good this next year. The Nuggets are going to be healthy next year. The Suns, who knows what's going to happen with them? They're probably going to win 56 games and be solid. But like, I feel like this is the Warriors' best chance to win that championship. And that being said, I think ultimately the Warriors win in six. There's just too much for the Warriors there's too much on the Warriors' side for them to lose. So I got the Warriors in six. What about you, Daniel?
I mean, there's not much to say here. I've practically talked about. I agree, Jared. The Warriors, I think they're going to win in six. It's not going to be this easy matchup I thought going in. But I just think, again, it's just Golden State. I think they're honestly, I think Boston's going to come into the series very green-eyed, but I think Golden State is going to come into this matchup more calm, cool, collected, and I think, you know, they're going to pull through.
No pun intended, green-eyed?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, G?
If you go look on my Twitter, I said Warriors and foe, but it was playing around. I said maybe in six. But I don't want to go with three sixes because that's some devilish going on here. So I'm going to go with the Warriors in five. And I believe that two of those games are going to be two out of those five games or two wins that the Warriors will get. Can possibly be won by the Celtics, but they're going to do something at the end that's going to cause them to lose it. So that's what I'm going to roll with. I think the games will be a little interesting. I'm hoping for a game seven. I don't want it to get there. I actually want them to just get swept. I don't even want to think about the Celtics. I don't even want to have a heart attack or anxiety attack thinking about them getting that 18th champion, 18th banner. So, you know what? But I'm going to roll with the Warriors in five.
All right. So, for all TLDR to everyone that just skipped all that, I got the Warriors in six. Daniel has them in six. And Jarrell has them in five, which is super optimistic. But I will definitely be... I'm not mad at it if it ends in five, definitely. But yeah, any last things you guys want to touch on before we hit the super quick hitters?
I'm with the Warriors. Let's go, Golden State. It's your year. It's your year. It's yours for the taking.
Yes, sir.
I don't think this is their last dance. When you said that, we got to remember the three lottery picks they got on the bench right now. Yeah. Like, I don't think this is the Warriors' last dance. They will still be competitors for a couple of seasons to come, top four. And I'm not that optimistic that everybody's going to come back healthy. But let's knock on wood that they do.
Yeah. And for me, I'm just preparing myself because I know this is close to the end of this Warriors run. But I'm going to enjoy every second of it. But that's just how... That's how the cookie crumbles. Sometimes you get crumbs on the floor. Other times you catch the crumbs and then eat them up and then enjoy it. But that's just how it is. But speaking of that's just how it is. Speaking of the Lakers hired Darvin Ham. It's a 4-year deal. And they really snuck that in there that they hired him. Like, there was a bunch of news going on. They snuck that in there. But yeah, thoughts on that as the resident Laker fans? I don't have any opinion of it, obviously, but go ahead.
I like the hire. Let's just say that he's had experience working with Giannis Antetokounmpo, who, you know, AD's, you know, and practically in the same position as he is. So, I mean, he has experience working with bigs, but I just don't have faith in this Lakers organization. We're old, we're injured, we're practically broken. LeBron, I have to say it, you got to think about retirement, man. You're practically in Kobe's position at the end of his career. You're just trapped on a poorly managed squad. I think the root of the Lakers issues goes down to ownership and Genie Bus, Jim Bus family. You're not your father. You got to sell. So this, I just feel like I hope Darvin Ham actually gets by the 7 years. I hope he gets his contract extended because it's going to be a tough road for him, because this Lakers, you know, franchise is just a franchise in constant turmoil. It's just unstable. It needs new ownership.
All right. Ownership. The one word that we can take out of this, ownership. What about you, G? Ownership too?
No, I am excited. I am happy that we have Darvin Ham. I just want to make note that there is 15 African-American coaches in the NBA, and that is amazing. But aside from that, this guy demands respect, not only in the locker room, but on the court. Y'all seen highlights of him jamming out, dunking on, I was jamming out, shout out to Michael Jackson, but dunking on people and whatnot. He's next up. We saw Willie Green. We saw Ime Udoka. You see that he is in Ime, whatever, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. He's in the NBA finals right now. This is the time to give these chances. Assistant coaches that have a long resume history of assisted coaching, and now they get that opportunity to take over the wheel. I agree with you. Our management is weird, but I can't put it all on them. Just like how we want to blame Russell Westbrook for this entire season, we have to put some blame on our general manager as well. Rob Pelinka said shooting, that's the only thing we're going to get this offseason. He got shooting, and nothing else. No defense, no youth, no legs, no athleticism, no shot creation, aside from Malik Monk. But that's not what you do. And I guess we have to we live and we learn, right? This management has delivered us championships. We had two peat with Kobe. We just had one 2-3 years ago. I can't sit here and get mad at them. All I can do is hope for the best this offseason. And we started the right move by hiring Darvin Ham. Hopefully we get a supporting cast that supports him. We do much better than what we did this past season. And LeBron does not need to retire. Dude averaged 30 points per game last season. He's
approaching 40, though.
Huh?
He's approaching 40. Father Time's going to beat him eventually.
It don't matter. He averaged 30 points last season, dog. You want to get rid of that? He was one of the only bright spots on our team.
I mean, the cool thing is when Father Time does catch up with LeBron, let's face it, he's still the heart of this team. And when he leaves, we're going to be faced with decision. We may not have even like have a choice. We may have to rebuild. It's just reality.
That's okay. Teams do that.
Just ride it out for as long as you can, right?
We have to be smart at this point because the Anthony Davis trade was smart, but look at all of our picks. We could have had the 8th pick this season, and we may not have our pick next season. So let's be smart with this. LeBron brings in the crowd. He brings in that showtime, and he's averaging damn near 30 points a game. With LeBron on the court, we win. It's okay. Let's build around him. It's okay. We can live with him for a year or two. It's fine.
Right. And like one last thing here before we wrap things up. The 23 pick is not yours, right? It's not the Lakers. The 25 pick is not the Lakers. The next feasible pick, first rounder, is 27.
It's either the 24th or the 25th pick. The New Orleans Pelicans can choose to either take that 24th pick or choose the 25th pick.
Oh, okay, so.
But we can't trade it. We don't have – it's because
– You guys don't have.
Yeah.
All right. Makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully the Lakers do something for your guys' sake. But for all the fans, I guess we just want to say thank you again. And for all you guys listening, don't forget to subscribe to the Shooting Bricks podcast and leave a review on your platform of choice. It really helps us out. Lastly, make sure to follow us on @podcastbricks on Twitter, @ShootingBricksPodcast on Instagram, and @TheShootingBricksPodcast on YouTube for all the news and the video of this episode of the Shooting Bricks podcast. And as always, I'm Jerry Castillo.
Great to be back on this podcast. And remember, everyone, go see Top Gun Maverick. It's a phenomenal movie. And joining me as well,
it's your boy, Relly Rel, a.k.a. Entertainment's Paradise. Glad y'all here back with us. Hey, be blessed and refer this episode to a friend. Let's talk hoops. Can't wait to see you guys next episode.
All right. And we will see you guys next time.